I got the victory. You got the victory too. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you're dealing with, God's over that. He took care of it. Amen. Pray with me right now. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord, the simplicity of the Holy Ghost in our lives, the personal experience with the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing today. And thank you, Lord, you've given us the victory in every area. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. Well, last couple weeks I've been journaling about not being a mere man. That's a good word. And you know, all you ladies, you're not just a mere woman, all right? The Bible talks about not being a mere man. And I thought about it on the plane coming back. Melissa, I had my phone out because I didn't have my computer. And I just started typing in my notes. If you see my phone, I have a notes. I don't know, there's probably 500-600 maybe or more notes that I've written. And I've been working on this, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me. I need to share this with you because it's something I've been doing all the time, and it's important, and it's valuable. So on your handout, the scriptures are there, but let's get into this real quick. The Bible tells us over here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, and this is from the New King James. It says, for those who live according to the flesh. Everybody say flesh. All right, I'm talking to you. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, everybody say, I need to live in the Spirit. You really do. You're in a body, but you're a spirit being. Spirit's important. Amen. In fact, spirit's listed first in Thessalonians, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit's first. You should be building your spirit up constantly. Amen. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let me go back and read it again because I get off my thought path. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here we go. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. How many of you love life? You love peace? Biggest key to peace is walking in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus, you know, born of a virgin. Oh, when he came. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and only Mary could hold those things in her heart. What the Lord had shown her. But Jesus came, he grew, he died for you and me. He was raised from the dead. The baptism of the Holy Ghost came on after that. The day of Pentecost, right? And that power of speaking in other tongues, that power of that indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's three Godheads, you know, part of the Godheads, the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's things about the Spirit I think we miss because we live in a sight and sound world. We live in a world of feeling. We live in a world where we, you know, our feelings tend to rule the day, or our emotions tend to rule the day, or the things we dwell on and think about tend to rule the day. But I want to read this passage of Scripture here from the Voice Translation. Look at this. Say, and this, you know, this again is Paul talking to us. And he says, if you live your life animated by the flesh. Boy, I love that, how that read. Animated by the flesh. Namely, your fallen, corrupt nature. Then your mind is focused on matters of the flesh. But if you live your life animated by the Spirit, namely God's indwelling presence, then your focus is on the work of the Spirit. A mind focused on the flesh is doomed to death. But a mind focused on the Spirit will find full life and what? Complete peace. You know, look at that last line. Verse 6. A mind focused on the flesh is doomed to death, but a mind focused on the Spirit will find full life and complete peace. Amen. You know, in these scriptures, Paul reminds us that the direction of your mind determines the direction of your life. The direction of your mind determines the direction of your life. Now, on one side note here, and this is my opinion, but Paul wrote it, and I think it's a pretty good opinion. Amen. But he wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he talks about things we're supposed to dwell on, things that we're supposed to think on, and we're to train our minds to think on the Lord. Amen. We are to train our minds to think on the Lord. Romans 12, 1. Amen. Think on the things of God. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to yield to Him more than our flesh. Amen. But in my opinion, we are to train our minds to think on the Lord first and be a true and faithful doer of the Word. I mean, Philippians 4, 8 reads, finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Everybody say, I'm supposed to think right. Amen. You are supposed to think right. You really are. Amen. You know, Paul talks about we're supposed to think truthful things. Our minds need to be rooted in the truth of the Word or real facts. We need to test our thoughts to be sure they are accurate and grounded in Scripture first. The opposite of truth is lies, deception, and fantasy. Number two, you know, the things we read here is honorable things. Honorable things. Well, our thoughts need to respect God. Our thoughts need to respect others, and our thoughts need to respect ourselves. We also need to think honorably towards our spouses, our children, our parents, our pastors, and employers. Another thing about this passage that Paul wrote, he says you're supposed to think on right things or righteous things. Your mind needs to think on things that reflect His righteousness, His justice, and the kingdom of God. Your minds are supposed to think on those things and reflect those things in your daily life. Number four here on this list is, we see in the scripture in Philippians 4:8, you should think on things that are pure. You know, we should not allow any unclean or immorally polluted things into our thought life. We should guard ourselves in that respect. Can you say amen? I mean, habits can get embedded in your life if you allow them to. You can't do that. But you need to think on godly things, good things, pure things, not unclean or morally polluted things, especially those that revolve around sexual things, impure thoughts, because those things tend to taint your mind. Amen. The other part here in Philippians 4, you're supposed to think on things that are lovely. Everybody say lovely. That's not some little fancy word, frou-frou word. And you're supposed to think on lovely things. We need to think on beautiful sights, sounds, relationships. If something is ugly or unattractive, we need to avoid it in our minds. Think on good stuff. Amen. I know one of the things the doctor told me was you need to take your shoes off and walk in the grass. You need to connect. Huh?
Touch a tree.
And she's not that kind of person, you know, a tree hugger. But she's talking about getting back to what's really lovely and beautiful. Holding on to that. Getting that in to be a part of your life. You know, a lot of times we let things corrupt our thinking. And it costs us. And we don't realize it. I mean, a lot of times we still focus on what our mama or our aunt or our uncle did to us. Instead of focusing on how Jesus redeems you from all that. If you'd walk in the Spirit more, you wouldn't dwell on what they did. You'd be focused on what He did. Because it's what He did that counts first. That's a lovely thing. Amen. The other thing that Paul talks about in this passage, admirable things. To admire something or someone is to feel inspired by them. Amen. We need to find people and things that inspire us, that we have admiration for. I mean, we need to do that. I mean, within yourself, you should focus your attention on those things that are admirable. Amen. We're drawn to what we admire, whether it's good or bad. It needs to be good and think right. You think right, you yield right, you yield right, you walk right, you speak faith right. Amen? Amen. You hear me? Amen. All right. The last two is excellent things. Our minds need a quality diet. Quality diet. Excellence means beyond mediocrity or average. We need to read books, associate with people, and be in environments that challenge us to rise above the status quo and reach our potential in God. In God first. Not second, third, fourth, or fifth. He should be first. At all times. In all things. Amen. You need a quality mind diet. And then lastly, Philippians talks about here praise, things that are worthy of praise, praiseworthy things. You know, one way to defeat dark thinking habits is to focus on things for which you can thank God and praise God for. If your mind is drifting a lot towards the negatives, towards that that's false and yet you believe it to be true, you need to immediately imagine one thing for which you can sincerely thank God for and praise Him. Get your head back in the right game. It can be anything that can pull you away. But when you begin to verbalize to God your praise and your thanks while allowing yourself to feel grateful, the one action alone has the power and effect in resetting your mind. Just like what's in my body right now is multiplying exponentially, it's going to reset my body. And it already has in a lot of ways. It's going to intensify. But you know what? The more you spend, listen to me, the more you spend walking in the Spirit, it will magnify, multiply, and intensify. You'll know His voice. You'll know His promptings. You'll know His leadings. You'll know His yes. You'll know His no, because your focus is on the right things. You verbalize praise and thanks. You allow yourself to feel grateful, to be grateful. That one action alone, folks, has the most powerful effect in resetting your mind and breaking. Everybody say breaking. A lot of you need to have this breakthrough. Breaking negative thinking cycles. You need to break negative thinking cycles. Fear-driven cycles. Jesus is the hope of glory in you. He should be your focus. Come on, that's good preaching. Amen. Well, let's get back to this. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verses 16 and 17, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, we think of the word lust, we start thinking, well, it's about sex. No, it's not. We're talking about the lust of other things, the lust of life, the way you think it should be. You're supposed to have a passion for the things of God, the things of the Spirit. Come on, say amen. You should have that passion. I mean, he reminds you here, you know, that to be carnally minded is not good for you. Everybody say, it's not good for me. If you're carnally minded, it's not good for you. Romans 8:6, what we read earlier. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, to be carnally minded is to let your thought life be shaped by fear, frustration, impulses, and whatever your flesh is feeling in the moment. To be carnally minded is to let your thoughts be shaped. I mean, you know, you have the Play-Doh fun house where you put the Play-Doh in the thing, you squeezed it, and the spaghetti comes streaming out like it's alive. Listen to me. Whatever you are putting through your head and before your eyes, you better be shaping your thoughts towards the things of God, the things of the Spirit. Otherwise, you're just building your fears, building your frustrations, building your impulses, and whatever feels good. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. It should be a Jesus thing. Amen. Whatever your fit flesh is feeling in the moment. All these things are what being carnally minded is. Lusting after these things. We're allowing the lust. Some people feed on fear. You ever been around people that feed on fear? It's all they talk about. Fear of this, I'm afraid of that. You can't live life that way. You'll die early. Amen. You need to feed yourself properly. Amen. You know, carnal thoughts is giving up on Christ in you, the hope of glory. Curl your toes, I'm going to get serious. Carnal thoughts is you giving up on Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you ready? And you're letting you rule over you instead. Not the word, not what the pastor said, or what he was instructing you about. You're just going, it's my thing, I'll do it the way I want to. I choose to believe this. Well, if it ain't working for you, you might want to reevaluate. See, you can't let you rule over you. You really are walking in pride if you're doing that. Letting you rule over you all the time. That's not good. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Everybody say that. Walking in the Spirit. Say it again.
Walking in the Spirit.
Thank you for the tea break. You need to be walking in the Spirit. Well, what is carnal thinking for a minute? We see those fear, frustration, impulses, whatever our flesh is feeling in the moment. Well, carnal thinking is letting circumstances control us instead of Christ Jesus. And carnal thinking and letting circumstances control you will always lead to things like heaviness, confusion, spiritual deadness. Originally in my journal I wrote spiritual death. And I thought, well, that's a little bit harsh and I don't want you to not understand what I'm saying. But a deadness spiritually. A lot of people are dead spiritually because they refuse to put the Word first and they refuse to speak the Word in their life and they refuse to be the doer of it. And they refuse to pray in the Holy Ghost. And those things are vital and those things are very, very important. But when you are carnal in your thinking, you'll let circumstances control you instead of Jesus. And it'll lead to things like feeling heavy all the time or walking in confusion. Or to have this spiritual deadness in your life. Or, you know, I guess I could say it, a spiritual death, so to speak. If you feed yourself wrong, you're killing yourself, right? Am I right? I mean, you can't eat donuts and bonbons every day of your life and expect to live long. You just can't. You got to do things right. You got to take care of yourself. Amen. But what I'm talking about here when we talk about spiritual deadness is not the ending of life. But listen to what I'm saying. Spiritual deadness is the separation and emptiness we feel when we drift away from God's voice. Do you hear me? Spiritual carnalness, spiritual deadness is that separation that we bring on and the emptiness that we bring on because we're drifting away from the voice of the Lord. The Bible says there's a better way. What is that way? Well, the better way is to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. You learning something today? I know it's so simple, but it's amazing to me as a pastor all the years in ministry, doing youth ministry and everything else, to get people to think spiritually speaking versus carnal. And we're trained to be carnal. Do you hear me? We are trained to be carnal. We are trained to go by what we feel and what we see. We are trained to do that. You can't be trained to do that when you get into the Word. You start training yourself, you realize you're getting spiritually strong, as Paul talked about when he was talking to Timothy. Spiritually strong, spiritually fit. You know, if I was going to tell you anything today before we close here, I personally try to focus on praying in the Holy Ghost as much as I possibly can. A lot of times, my mouth is closed, and I'm walking praying in other tongues. I do it all the time on our plane trips, not out of fear. I love flying. We had a bumpy ride coming back a couple places, pretty bumpy, where they had to sit down, strap in, put the carts up. But I was fine. I just sat there and prayed in the Holy Ghost the whole time. And just thought, well, this is cool. And there's a couple of bumps. I thought, boy, it'd be neat to see that cart go up and hit the ceiling. I saw that on one flight once. That was fun. Put a hole in the plastic panel above the where it hit. But then people weren't straight. You know how people are arrogant? They don't strap in. Well, I'm good. I'm cool. And then their body flew up and hit the ceiling too. Well, that was funny. Sorry, not to laugh at their pain. Please forgive me, Jesus. I'm so sorry. But it was funny how people will ignore the rules and ignore what they're told to do. The Bible tells you what to do, and yet you ignore it. So when turbulence comes, you're not strapped in. You're not focused on hearing the voice of the Holy One by praying in other tongues on the inside. Remember, it edifies you, right? Because you're going to walk in spiritual deadness, you're not paying attention. So when the storm comes, you're thrown out of your seat and hit the ceiling and come back down. And if it's a double bump like what we had coming back from Panama that time, three times, boom, ba-doom. I mean, it's fun when you hit a pocket of hot air. Listen, we need to be spiritually minded, folks. I mean, I pray in tongues all the time, and I try to do it as much as I possibly can. And here's the thing. I want to maintain a consistent, strong, and stable connection with the Holy Ghost. I want to maintain a consistent, strong, and stable connection with the Holy Ghost. You ought to write that down. You should desire more than anything else to have a consistent, strong, and stable connection with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I'm telling you, I don't even have to go in a phone booth. I am somebody. Are you hearing me? On the inside, I'm a mighty man of God. Amen. I make devils tremble. I make them break out in warts and hemorrhoids. When I get up in the morning, I'm hot and I'm on. You should live life that way. You should desire to have a consistent, strong, and stable connection with the Holy Ghost. Why? Well, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says it edifies you, charges you like a battery. In Jude, it says it builds up your most holy faith when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Isaiah said it's the refreshing that refreshes. I heard Jason Peebles, this ORU grad, he preached on this subject about that, praying in other tongues, why it's important. And he read that scripture in Isaiah. He says that praying in the Holy Ghost is therapeutic. More than any psychologist or psychiatrist or more than any other doctor can give you happy meds, praying in the Holy Ghost is therapeutic. It brings a revelation of health and awareness like nothing else. That's good preaching. It's the refreshing that refreshes. It's therapeutic. And then Jesus told us about the Holy Ghost. They just show you things to come. Well, I don't know about you. The more I pray in tongues, I know what's coming next. Amen. I see it ahead of time. But that doesn't come unless you're going to pray in tongues. Unless you're going to spend more time. You know, if the doctor gives you a bad report, you're going to let that shake you? Just going to sit there and just, well, no, I'm going to hook up with the voice of God. I'm not going to be spiritually dead about it. Well, this is happening to me, and oh, my God, oh, Jesus. No, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because on the inside, I'm Superman. Amen. You are Superwoman. Amen. The Mighty One lives in you. Amen. Amen. Folks, when your mind is set on the Spirit, write this down. Not on the screen. I don't think it's in your notes. When your mind is set on the Spirit, we're talking walking in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. When your mind is set on the Spirit, everything shifts. Are you hearing me? When your mind is set on the Spirit, on the Holy Ghost, everything in your life will suddenly begin to shift. You're walking on a new plateau, a new plane, a new realm of existence that's always been there, but you choose not to give it precedence in your life. And because of that, you struggle with your anger, your emotions, and everything else, the heaviness, the confusion, the spiritual deadness. You got to focus. Walking in the Spirit and quit being a mere man. Walk in the Spirit. Don't just be a mere woman. God made you to be great. He made you to conquer everything that comes before you. Amen. When your mind is set on the things of God, the things of the Holy Ghost, everything shifts. Our thoughts become anchored in truth, not anchored in emotion. We make decisions in faith instead of being under pressure and trembling. We hear God more clearly. We experience peace that, like the song says, peace that doesn't make sense in the midst of chaos. Amen. We experience peace when we pray in the Holy Ghost that doesn't make sense in the midst of chaos. Being spiritually minded, folks, doesn't mean ignoring reality. It means seeing reality through the eyes of God, through His lens. Amen. Being spiritually minded doesn't mean ignoring reality. It means you're seeing things through the reality of God's eyes. Amen. And lastly, it means choosing prayer over panic. Prayer over panic. And let me add this: worship over worry. Surrender over striving. Obedience over impulse. Walking in the Spirit means you choose prayer over panic, you worship over worry, you surrender over striving, obedience over impulse. Folks, I'm telling you, as the church, as the body of Christ, we need to spend more time. We need to do all we can to be more walking in the Spirit more than ever before. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. How many of you are not going to be a mere man, right? Amen? You need to see yourself on the inside. I got a different change of clothes on. Glory. It may not be tights like the world thinks of Superman, but on the inside, I make the devil nuts. Amen. I mean, you get up in the morning, you know, my God, are you in here? Get out of here. You need to have an attitude about yourself. You've got victory. Jesus paid the price. Not for you to sit there, oh, God, please, please, God, please. Oh, you haven't seen the touch me. He already did it. He did it. Why don't you pull your britches up and act like it? Amen. Be somebody in the kingdom. Walk in the Spirit. Oh, it's a good message, isn't it? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts. Lord, all of us in here today, I'm sure every one of us could check ourselves right now. And there's situations and things in our lives where we have allowed our flesh to be overlord, if you would, in our bodies and on the things of life. rather than letting the Spirit of God lead in God speak to us. Letting all these things, letting faith take charge. Letting all these things that we talked about today be paramount. Lord, I just thank you that this morning, whatever we're dealing with, we let that go. We let it go. Jesus, you're everything. And you told us in your word you would send the Holy Ghost not many days hence, that he would lead and guide us and show us things to come. Paul magnified all the teaching about the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, all these things that are Superman quality stuff. The kryptonite that destroys us is living by the flesh. Lord, may we grab hold of what it is to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, if you're in here and you've been struggling with some things and you realize it's your flesh, you need to repent. 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 Because you're walking contrary to my word, says the Lord. I have things and blessings and increase and supernatural things for you. Doorways into things that you cannot imagine. Oh, but when you let your flesh rule, it hinders what you can see. And it hinders what you can receive. So open your eyes, says the Lord. Yield yourself to me. Repent. Let those things go. Turn around. For everything I've got will always keep you safe and sound. I am the God who made a way so that you would never be lost but always be found. So don't wring your hands anymore. Don't worry about things that don't belong to you. But just stand on that which you know and that which is true. For what I said is exactly what I will do. Oh, and if you'll have a relationship with my Spirit, just as much as you have prayer time, just as much as you have times of worship, if you'll have a relationship with my Spirit, oh, I'll show you things greater than you could ever imagine or dream. Because I love you. And I want the best for you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. Lord, I believe you're ministering to people right now about this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're in here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, oh, it's so easy to ask him into your heart. If you're watching online, all you got to do is ask him in. It's easy. In fact, I'll tell you how easy it is. You just come to the Father. You say, Father God, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe he was raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be born again. It's that easy. In fact, we're going to pray together right now. If you're watching online or if you're here today, would you pray with me? Church, pray all together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you sent your son Jesus. He lived and died and was raised from the dead. His blood was shed on my behalf. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. From this day forward, forever, I will live for you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, that I am born again. In Jesus' name.